Let's just bow our heads and say a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know by faith you have special, unique graces in store for us with each and every Mass. May our hearts and minds be receptive to these gifts and graces here today. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and as image of the shepherd that Christ takes himself, goes all the way back to the Old Testament, where God has used shepherds in a special way. The first patriarchs of the chosen people were shepherds, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The first kings of Israel, Saul and David, they were shepherds. And the prophets ceaselessly, all the time, they speak about Israel being led by the shepherd. And then the Psalms talk about God as a shepherd over his people. And there's several reasons for that. One, the shepherds in the Old Testament, when they were shepherding the sheep, they're away from the main town, the hubbub, they're out, and where they could hear the voice of God more clearly. So they were more docile instruments. They could hear what God was calling them to do. They were more accepting. Rather than people get tied up with all so many different things or no time for prayer, they were open to the promptings of the Spirit. And then another image is a good shepherd. It's a shepherd walking with his sheep. You know, we're not deists. Deists believe God's like a watchmaker. He makes a watch, boom, but then he's distant and he watches from a distance. You know the Bette Midler song, God's watching from a distance? That's not Christianity. Christianity is God comes and walks with us, among us. He's with his sheep. He's with us in Psalm 23, though the valley of darkness that we go through, the shepherd's with us. He's with us in the high points and the low points of our life, that God is with us. And he's always conscious of us, always thinking, but he wants us in turn to be conscious of him, the good shepherd. Now, oftentimes, if you reflect back in your life, the older you get, look at those times in your life when you're going through distress. Maybe you're out of a job, looking for work, or maybe at this point, is this the person I'm supposed to marry? All these different critical decisions or times, or pressures, or worries, anxieties, those are often the times in our lives that we're turning to God with more fervent prayer. Oh Lord, please help me, especially for something, suffering something physically. And so we see in those dark times, God is drawing us closer to himself. We're drawing closer to him, so he's drawing closer to us. You know, there's a beautiful poem called Footprints in the Sand. Perhaps you've heard it before or read it sometimes in the back of the funeral cards. But the history of that, it was written in the 1940s by a girl named Mary Stevenson. She was a teenage girl. She was born in 1936. Her mother died when she was 6 years of age. She was one of eight children. So the father then had raised his eight children in poverty and hardship during the Great Depression. And one particular time, she was out in the cold, and she was locked out of the house, and she was going through some other difficulties. She sat down, and she's reflecting upon the Good Shepherd and being with the sheep. And she wrote this, "One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord, and many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, sometimes there was one set of footprints. And this bothered me, because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. And so I said to the Lord, 'You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I've noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you the most, have you not been there for me?' And the response, the Lord replied, 'The times you've seen only one set of footprints in the sand is when I carried you.'" There's a profound truth in that. The trials and difficult things we go through, if you look back, wow, I made it through that. I made it through that. I'm still here. God is shepherding us. He's picking us up. We may not be a tangible feeling right at that moment, but he helps us through that. And oftentimes, God has to get our attention through this darkness, isn't it? We can't see clearly where to go. And the Lord says, finally, I got your attention. I'm here, and I love you. The greatest gift we have, I've mentioned this many times, but I could keep mentioning, is the gift of our faith. But another great gift that comes along with the faith is the gift of prayer. I think many times we don't value that. You know, if I wanted to talk to the Pope, Pope Francis, or even our own Bishop, Bishop Malloy, I just can't call them up and get right through to them. But when we go into prayer, God hears us. We pause, we place ourselves in the presence of God, we say a prayer from the heart, not just lip service, from the heart. God hears that prayer. That's an amazing thing. It's not like a cell phone where you forget your charger, the battery runs out, or the cell phones that go drop you in a bad area. He always hears that prayer from the heart. Oftentimes we don't take advantage of that. But what a great gift that we have, that we have the immediate access to the throne of God, to the good shepherd. Now I want to give you this image. Picture a shepherd who's going through green fields, pasturing the sheep. Let's say there's about 100 sheep around the shepherd, okay? And as the sheep are paying attention to the shepherd, they're going to stay rather close to him. If they're closer there, the more clearly they could hear the voice of the shepherd. Now let's say you have a sheep that starts, slowly but surely starts fading away from the shepherd and gets to the outer perimeter of the flock. And he's further and further out. He starts getting distracted by other things. And the further away he falls, he lays prey to the different wolves and other things that may be out there trying to hunt it down. But the closer you are to the shepherd, the greater the protection, the greater you hear the voice. Now, when the sheep starts wandering further and further and further away, whose fault is it? Is it the shepherd's? It's the sheep. The sheep is not following the voice. He's going off in his own path, his own direction. But the thing is, the shepherd never stops loving us. But when the sheep's way out there, then it realizes, whoa, all the troubles and difficulties that it was protected by when it was with the shepherd. Now, how do we stay close to the good shepherd's heart? By the Eucharist, by a devotion to Jesus Christ present in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. That seems basic, but that's the heart of our Catholic faith, of loving Christ present, incarnate in the Eucharist, the heart of the shepherd. And I'm going to share this. It's from Catalina Ribas. She's a mystic down in South America. I put into the bulletin about the Mass, different words our Lord and our Lady spoke to her about the Mass, approved by the local bishops, so I'm safe quoting this. She said, one day the Lord Jesus came to me and he said, write down these promises that I am telling you today. I promise to the souls that visit me frequently in the sacrament of love of the Eucharist that I will receive it affectionately together with all the blessed and the angels of heaven, and that each of its visits will be written down in the book of life. And I'm going to continue here. But every time that you visit our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel, he writes that down in the book of life, and he never forgets it. And our Lord goes on. He said, every petition presented to me before my altar where I'm present, and prayers in behalf of the Church, the Pope, and Consecrated Soul, I grant. And listen to this. This is especially for the fathers of the house and the grandfathers. Our Lord says, every time you come before me in the Blessed Sacrament pray, there's a diminishment of Satan's power over you and over your loved ones. So fathers out there and grandfathers, if you're worried about the well-being of your children, spiritually, emotionally, physically, all those different things, go to the Good Shepherd. Your presence there wins graces for your children and grandchildren. I think, this is a sample, but think about how many children don't have parents, especially fathers, not praying. There's no spiritual defenses there, especially if the kids aren't praying. So fathers, do that. Our Lord said, I promise a diminishment of Satan's power. Third, special protection. This doesn't apply specifically for us, but protection against earthquakes, hurricanes, and other natural disasters where there's devotion to the Eucharist. Our Lord said, the souls that put me in the center of the Eucharist, I will lovingly withdraw them from the world and its attractions, which is the cause of so many souls going to perdition. So when we go before the Blessed Sacrament, what the Lord does, slowly but surely, he changes our thinking patterns, our motivations. Realize, you know, the things of this world, even though I had all of them, it doesn't really mean that much in the grand scheme of things. These are temporal. God is eternal. So every time we go there, our Lord's getting us, we're putting more and more on the mind of Christ, that everything is being conformed to him. Then he says, I will elevate the soul, desiring it in our heart to desire its sanctification. So every time we go there, our Lord inspires us to a certain degree, sometimes imperceptible, sometimes boom, to be better, They want to be better. I want to be better. I want to be more peaceful. I want to be less argumentative. I want to, etc. All these different things to be better. Our Lord says, every time you come, I will give relief to the souls of your family members who are in purgatory. Huh? So we all have family members, maybe a couple of generations are still in purgatory. My blessings will come upon every material and spiritual project that they undertake, if it's for the sake of the good of his own soul. So everything we do in life, it helps us towards the final end. Our Lord's going to bless and grant. He said, the receiving of my visit in company with my mother at the death. So the moment that we pass this world, our Lord say, if you had a devotion to me in the Eucharist, I myself will be there along with my mother to greet your soul. The Lord says, let's give a couple of these things here. They will enjoy the intercession of the saints and the angels at the hour of death. That my love will cause holy vocations to consecrated life to grow. Now this adoration chapel, by God's grace, blessed May 1st last year, but June 10th, Corpus Christi opened up. What the Lord has promised, especially at parishes with this Eucharistic adoration, in the surrounding area, there could be people coming from 45 minutes away and so on, that God's going to cause the growth of vocations of the priesthood and religious life. Why? Because we're going there. We're trying to listen to the voice of the shepherd. If we're trying to listen, guess what? We're going to hear his voice. And I'm convinced that in every age, God is calling many young men to the priesthood, being brothers as well, women to religious life. He's always calling. But part of the problem is the world is so busy, or the parents aren't praying, the children aren't giving an example, that they got these like spiritual earmuffs on. They can't hear the voice of the shepherd. And so they get further and further away in the flock out there, so they don't fulfill the mission which God has created them. And every single priest you talk to, when we entered seminary, before we entered seminary, we were deeper in prayer. And that's how we heard the voice of the shepherd and then had the grace to respond and go in there. But it starts with the fathers, if they're being good shepherds of the domestic church, right? Now, I say I'm really proud of this. At St. Mary's School, so we have Mass there every week, and we have Eucharistic adoration. So we're trying the children to put them in the shadow of the good shepherd, to train them at a young age. Keep going to Jesus in the Eucharist. Keep going here. This is the meaning of life, being in union with Jesus here, present in the Blessed Sacrament. So what I would suggest to all of us here today, ask God for deeper faith in the Eucharist. Now you're here in church, so we all have a level of belief here, some deeper, some less. But there are some people that, well, maybe Jesus is there in the Blessed Sacrament, maybe he's not. He's really there. He's really there. And you know, these scripture readings, in John chapter 6, which was earlier this week, and I'll look at these just real briefly, is that when our Lord talked about his real presence here in the Blessed Sacrament, said many of his disciples walked away. And then you have the Acts of the Apostles here. You have Paul and Barnabas. They were urging the faithful to remain faithful to the graces of God, implying that there are some people, even at the very beginning, starting to fade away, walking away from the Eucharist, the Good Shepherd. And then you have the book of Revelation, chapter 7 here. I, John, had a vision. And the ones he saw with the white robes were victorious with the Lamb, the Kingdom of Heaven. Those were the ones who survived the time of great distress. Are the ones who survived the test, the ones who passed the test of life, where they made an act of will, I believe. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Are we hearing the voice of God? What are we listening to? We're listening to something. Is it the devil? Is it the flesh of the world? Or is it Jesus Christ? So let's ask for that grace. We come up here today. We receive the Good Shepherd's heart as united with ours. Lord, help me to hear your voice. Help me to listen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.